Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
And welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crudy is still off. I'm your co-host, Dominic. I'm here with my friend, James Santel. He's a former U.S. attorney, also host here on the Civic Media Network. Morning Cannoli, Saturday, 9 to 11, all across the network. You can tune in or you can just listen right now as well. James Santel, thanks again, man.
You kept me here for a second hour.
Yeah.
I'm delighted I passed the test and... looking forward to more great discussion with you,
well,
my friend.
Well, man, you know, it's too long. It's been too long, and so we got some catching up to
do,
man.
We do. We've got lots of things to chat about.
Last hour, we broke down some of the goings-on at the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's focus now a little bit on this hour, if we can, to some of the legal challenges, the headwinds Donald Trump is facing. And today, the E. Jean Carroll case.
Right.
Seated a jury today, opening statements.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on this right now, Counselor?
Right, Manhattan Federal District Court, a trial court. And so, as you said, we've got a jury that's right now listening to evidence about something that happened perhaps that's the allegation, by E. Jean Carroll somewhere around 1995, 1996 in the Bergdorf Goodman store in Manhattan. And I won't go into all of the specifics here, but fairly lurid. She maintains that while she was there, she confronted Donald Trump and he confronted her. They kind of recognized each other. And he says, I want to go purchase something. They go to the lingerie department.
Of course.
And again, depending upon who you believe, the next thing you know, he is pushing her into a dressing room and sexually assaulting her. There's more graphic detail to that, which I'm going to not repeat right now. That's the basic allegation. And she's been describing this from time to time over the period of the last 25 years. Right after the event, she does, in fact, go to some friends and she says, guess what just happened to me? Doesn't go to the police, but does recount it, fairly contemporaneous with it. That's an important point in this lawsuit, that there was some contemporaneous reporting of it. Donald Trump, of course, from the time that this first surfaces, when she talks about it publicly and in writing, says no, this never happened. When he is the president of our United States of America, and she is talking about this again, he very famously in the White House says this did not happen, says, among other things, scurrilous. He says, look at her. Would never be attracted to her.
She's not my type.
She's not my type. This is the president of the United States of America talking. And she turns around and she says, you know what? You've defamed me. And so she brings a first lawsuit alleging defamation. You have said things in the public domain that are not true. And that case, Dom, believe it or not, is still pending in the federal courts, having to do with a question about who is the proper party defendant. Is it Donald Trump?
Was he speaking as the president, as the government, or was he speaking as a private citizen who can be sued for saying such things?
That's exactly. Hard to imagine that he wasn't acting in his private capacity, but the courts are still wrestling with that. Meanwhile, the New York State passes a law that opens up the statute of limitations for 1 year and says, you know what, if you've been a victim of sexual assault in the past, we'll give you this opportunity to file a lawsuit. Interestingly, a civil lawsuit, not being prosecuted by a government prosecutor, a civil lawsuit that basically says gives you the opportunity to go after your sexual assaulter. And that's what she does. He files this lawsuit, and that's the trial that's going ahead today. It is about sexual assault. And yes, defamation will be along the way, just because plainly allegations that this is true, this is not true. And presumably, E. Jean Carroll will take the stand at some point soon and describe exactly exactly what happened to her. She will also presumably call these friends of hers to whom she reached out and describe other things that happened around the time. It is quite literally pending right now in the federal court there. Question, of course, lots of speculation about whether or not Donald Trump will come forward to defend himself. He is under no obligation to do so.
He does not have to show up.
Does not have to show up.
But he wanted the judge to tell the jury
exactly.
that, hey, you would have been there, but it's so busy, I don't want to hassle all my all you nice New York people with all my Secret Service-ness.
Right. Don't want
to
cause
disruption. But the judge said, no, we're not doing that. We're not saying that.
Right, exactly. And so many of the things the judge is restricting as we go forward appropriately in this trial. But again, if the defendant here wanted to appear and make that statement, he certainly could in his own defense. It does not have an obligation to do so. The burden is entirely upon the plaintiff by a preponderance of the evidence. This is not beyond a reasonable doubt because this is, again, a civil case, not a criminal case. And we will see how this plays out, presumably in the next days, weeks, hopefully not months. But this is going to proceed, again, in that court. And then at some point down the road, after this gets straightened out in the other forum, the defamation lawsuit could also proceed as well. One of many things that the former president right now has on his litigation docket, both civil and criminal.
The delay tactics, of course, are classic Trump. I mean, I get a lot of folks do this, but Trump, he makes style out of it. Tried to get the judge to delay once again because what? Because he was indicted for fraud. Right. On 30-some charges of fraud by Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg and used that as a reason to try to further delay. But it seems like some of these things are speeding up. And we have other cases that we'll talk about as well. But the judge wasn't playing on this case.
Was not at all, right? And judges are more and more saying, you know what, nice try. But like everyone else in America, this case is pending. I'm going to keep this on my docket. And gosh, just because you've got this criminal matter going on down the street there doesn't mean that this case can't proceed. And so again, nice try for his attorneys to attempt to delay this. Is it to the advantage of a defendant, typically in criminal cases and in civil cases, to delay? Sure it is. Why? Because things get old, memories fade, evidence sometimes gets lost along the way, and even the enthusiasm for prosecutions, both civil and criminal, can sometimes wane. It is always a good thing. That's why as prosecutors, criminal prosecutors, we always try to enforce something called the Speedy Trial Act, which brings cases to fruition. That is also in the interest of the public and even the defendant in a speedy trial. It's part of our Constitution, too, right? We want to get justice done. And I would say the same thing applies to civil cases as well. Things that are pending for years and years and years, it is not like wine. It does not get better over time. It sours, if anything.
It's like open wine.
Right,
you
there
gotta
you
drink
go.
It
it's
fast,
open wine,
right?
And so that's my analogy, not wine, which does get better perhaps over time. Open wine does sour over time, as do civil cases. And so this one proceeds apace, as do all these other things. An awful lot of judges, again, we haven't talked yet about the civil lawsuit brought by Letitia James. Again, that's also in front of a Manhattan judge who's likewise said, no, that's going to trial in October of this year, not giving any further delays and not, frankly, giving any countenance to the notion that, gee, in 2024, this particular defendant might indeed be involved in a campaign for the White House. That's very interesting, but not going to affect my calendar, the judge says. And so all these things, I think we've got it just right, Dom. Judges more and more saying, no, we're not going to countenance this attempt to delay things, not in the interest of justice.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, my guest for the day. NBC News reporting, Jim, that Trump sat down sat for a videotaped deposition in this E. Jean Carroll case in October. Her attorney says that in court filings that she plans to use Trump's deposition at trial.
Right. You can do that, again, with permission of the court, especially if a party is not there. Plainly, one of the things you want to be concerned about in a deposition is you want to be able to do cross-examination and do that in-court stuff. So presumably the attorneys knew about this at the time that they did this second deposition in this case. This is apparently the one where the defendant, Donald Trump, did not invoke the Fifth Amendment 400
times.
And
this was recent, the second one.
This was very recent, very recent, just happened recently, presumably done for the purpose of trial. This trial can present that. And so unlike normal depositions where usually they're sort of one-sided, if this is presented, look for there also to be excerpts of it, perhaps, by defense counsel saying, well, they're going to play more of this to give you some balance, members of the jury. To put that in context, again, can be used in a civil case. Do not have the Fifth Amendment issues it would otherwise attach here.
Okay, let's talk about the Fifth Amendment issues. My understanding in civil cases, if you say that you take the Fifth Amendment, the jury can presume that you are guilty, or I forget the terminology.
Sure, absolutely. That's exactly right. You always have a Fifth Amendment right.
Yes.
As James Madison stuff, freedom to not incriminate myself and give you answers that would tend to suggest that I've committed a crime, right? So that's the fundamental right always attaches to you.
The adverse inference. That's the language
we're going to use. And so a judge will instruct the jury that indeed the defendant or the party has the right to do that. But you, members of the jury, can infer adversely that the answer to that question would be unfavorable to the speaker, the person who's answering the question. And if indeed there are questions about what has happened here at Burgdorf Goodman, other things around the edges, if there are statements to which, or questions to which the statement is responded, I'm going to raise the Fifth Amendment, you can infer that just the opposite, just the thing that the plaintiff is advocating for is in fact what happened. And so that's a big thing. That's a big thing in a civil case, which can be invoked here.
And I wonder, you know, because he was sat for two depositions in the E. Jean Carroll case. Right. And my understanding, the first one, did he take the Fifth Amendment?
I sometimes get these confused because he's done so many depositions.
Well, and the one James was like 500 times
Exactly. So we've got a lot of them out there.
I'm sorry, I'm blending my Trump cases.
And all of us get them confused over time. He's taken a lot of depositions.
But if he
out
did
there,
the first time, he came back, maybe clarified, something.
And you can do that again in pretrial discovery. You can do that. You want to revisit issues. It still raises the issue about, you know, when you sit down for a deposition, this is not a matter of you and me talking right now, admittedly, in a very important setting. But we haven't taken an oath of oath to tell the truth here, right? We always do tell the truth on this fine broadcast, but to make that clear. In a deposition, from the time you sit down until the time you leave, you are sworn again by the court reporter and you are obliged to tell the truth. A perjury prosecution, as difficult as those are, could be premised upon a knowingly false statement in a civil deposition. Again, it's not easy to bring perjury prosecutions, but you are still under an obligation to tell the truth. And that, again, is the reason why it can be presented in a trial down the road, because you take the same oath if you're live, if you're there. The judge says, raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Same thing goes on.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocates. That's James Santel. He's a former U.S. attorney. He is a friend of ours and host of Morning Cannolis on Saturdays, 9 to 11, here on the Civic Media Network. Stick around. We got some Brewer tickets to give away. They're playing my Tigers tomorrow here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 12:40. First pitch. You can win your tickets. You got to go to the game, though. Got to give us a call, 844-967-2789. First caller. I'm giving the first caller. We're not even playing games. We're giving away and we're getting to the politics. I want to get to some of the other cases. Again, E. Jean Carroll case today against Donald Trump. The jury has been seated. Opening statements have been given. Here we go. We have others to talk about. James Santel, my guest. We'll be right back.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and we're all out of bubble gum.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, giving away some Brewers tickets today. You can listen to the Brewers here on the Civic Media Network, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. Also, WRCE News from the Center, Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. First callers giving tickets away tomorrow here in Milwaukee. You probably want to be local. Not going to fly in for the Detroit game against the Milwaukee Brewers, 844-967-2789. We'll give those away this hour. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, sticking around. Jim, always a pleasure. Timelines. Let's talk about some timelines.
TikTok.
Of course, today, the trial going on right now, E. Jean Carroll v. Trump, the civil case. Alvin Bragg, we know, has charged Donald Trump. But where do we stand on that one, Jim?
Sure. So what's happening is, of course, again, we've had the arraignment and plea here.
I want to say Alvin Bragg charge. I mean, the grand jury came back.
Right, exactly.
Right, I'll be very clear on that.
Right, yes, precisely. Yes. We got a grand jury. People out there who looked at this evidence and said, yes, indeed, 34 counts. This is all related to the Stormy Daniels and the payment through Michael Cohen, the invoices, the phony checks. The registry inside.
If he had cut one check, would it have been less counts?
Probably so, because right, you know we get the 34 is 11. I'm not good at math here, and 12, right? So I think it's 11 invoices go from Michael Cohen to the Trump Organization saying, I provided these legal services for you, wink, wink. Those are false.
Right.
Then you get 11 checks written back from the Trump Organization.
Okay.
That's a second batch of 11. And then they're apparently, if again, I'm doing my math correctly, correct me if I am mistaken in this, you've got 12 entries in the ledgers of the Trump Organization that also improperly indicate that this is a legitimate transaction. In fact, all you're doing is paying Michael Cohen back for the money that he gave to Stormy Daniels.
All right, so the
quiet,
lesson
right?
to the criminals out there, if
right.
you're going to engage in this kind of financial business
right.
fraud,
right.
do it in one or two transactions.
Do it one or two transactions. Cash? Again, why are we on the air now advocating for
right,
the ways
right.
in which
well,
we commit
mean, but
crimes?
Didn't,
right?
didn't Trump suggest cash?
He absolutely did.
He
absolutely did.
Cash?
Right?
Let's give her cash. No.
And again, significant that, again, if I remember correctly on some of this when it was pending in the Southern District of New York when the Department of Justice was looking for it, at least one or two of those checks actually signed by Donald Trump himself with that very distinctive signature
while he
of
was
his.
Still, while he was in the White House,
absolutely.
Right?
And that's the other important thing about
wait,
this.
Wait, no, was he acting on behalf of
go,
the American people
right,
in the White House?
When you're doing that, right?
Right? But not that before the defamation. Come on.
Exactly. And so we know that, again, this begins, obviously, before 2016, right before the election. But you're absolutely right. The allegations in the Bragg, the grand jury indictment, indicate that this goes on in his first months. He's consummating all these transactions in his first months of his own presidency, which, forgive me, I've got to get it in. You know where I'm going with this. The same time that he's doing what? Obstructing justice in the Mueller investigations. He's got a lot going on in his first months of his term. That case, again, going forward, and again, discovery being produced here going down that
do
road.
Do you think he cut the check in the White House? Do you think it was like sitting in the Oval Office with his fat marker pen when writing out that last check to Cohen to pay off the porn star?
My guess is that probably in the information in the discovery here, my guess is that Alvin Bragg knows where that check was signed.
That's what
because
I
you plainly
know.
Had people come in and talk about yep. these transactions, yep. right? It's not just purely paper. You got to bring that paper alive always. You got to have people. It may not be his CFO, right?
Weisselberg.
Weisselberg, who was convicted, who is still relatively tight-lipped about all this. But other people have got to come forward and say, again, Michael Cohen, a much damaged witness, as we know, but he will come in and testify about where those checks probably were written, about the transactions, and others, presumably, that Alvin Bragg now is disclosing as a part of discovery. So that
so
goes
when,
on.
Yeah, when do we right. when do we get there? Charges, right. all right, 34 right. charges, all right.
Right.
Let's get to it. Trial by summer. What,
right.
What?
Highly unlikely.
Ah,
again, because again, there is in the. I'm sure it's the. No, it's in the part of the federal system that a Speedy Trial Act. States also have those kinds of things. That is the notion that you want to get these things to trial expeditiously on behalf of the defendant, on behalf of the public generally. There are large exceptions, especially the judge says, well, this case is sufficiently complex. If there are lots of transactions here, lots of documents to review.
This one isn't very complex.
That's
though.
My response to that, right? This is we're going to have a lot of electronic files here, but this is not involving a takeover of AT&T or
right,
that sort
right.
of thing.
And this
right?
isn't the $250 million suit.
It is
that
not.
James, okay,
right.
let's not
sure.
get there.
Right.
We'll pause.
Right.
All right. So when's the pretrial? When do we
right.
start?
So the judge then will schedule that at some point fairly soon. Those things will be happening. Don't have a trial date on that one yet.
Okay.
Highly again would be fascinating as a civics matter and as an American history matter if that trial were to go to trial again, the criminal trial that's now on deck. During the course of the campaign, right?
Well, seemingly, and the campaign's on. I mean, if this thing goes to
right?
trial prior to the election,
right.
it's during the campaign season.
Right, exactly. Question whether or not that will happen is entirely possible. It could, arguably, depending upon how busy the judge is and other matters coming before the judge. 2024 could see that trial, could be down the road. And again, you want to have a judge who is making decisions not based upon, again, as we talked before, not likely to look at Donald Trump and say, well, yeah, I see you've got these primaries, you got to go debate. Unlikely the judge is going to look at that and say that's a good reason to avoid being in my courtroom. So when the case is ready to be tried, the judge should, in fact, announce that, articulate that. Probably the government is going to want some time likewise to respond to what's going to happen right now, which is lots of discovery being produced. The defense attorneys have this right, this obligation, if you will, to file motions. And what are those? Probably a motion to dismiss the indictment.
Of course.
You know, that will come forth. We've got this somewhat innovative notion of bootstrapping these financial crimes to tax violations and election violations. That will be challenged. Also making motions.
Because Bragg hasn't come out and articulated specifics yet, right?
He is not. Yeah. He is not. It's in the indictment. He's also got this supplemental statement of facts, but that's not really the charging document.
Right.
So he's got to come forward and probably articulate in greater detail the theories, and that's going to be argued in front of the judge whether or not this indictment, as it is charged, states a crime under New York law. More importantly, arguably, if you survive that one, motions to suppress. Let's assume that there are documents that were seized, things gotten during the course of the grand jury process, subpoenas. We've seen that a lot in the federal system. You can move to suppress that on the basis that it was gotten illegally, unconstitutionally, under New York law, all those kinds of things, trying to keep evidence out. Other motions related to witnesses, preserving testimony, perhaps, that can all happen. So it's going to take some time. And that's the reason why I think this will be back in court fairly soon.
We're the Devil Advocate. We'll be right back on the radio very soon.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host here on Civic Media of Morning Cannolis on Saturdays from 9 to 11. My guest today, you are on the phones at 844-967-2789. Please take these tickets. Got two tickets to the Brewers game tomorrow, 12:40, playing my Tigers. I probably want to be in Milwaukee, but hell, if you want to fly in for the game, you got plenty of time. 844-967-2789. Callers, be patient. We will get to you. Talking about the timelines of the Trump trials. E. Jean Carroll, that's on today. A quick headline on that one. Raw Story reporting the judge shut down Trump lawyer when he tried to complain that E. Jean Carroll met with George Conway. And this is the kind of thing this judge is putting up with, right, in this case.
Right.
So that trial is going on right now. We talked about Alvin Bragg. Those charges have been leveled, but that's kind of probably going to be a while.
It'll be a while, right? And I probably didn't answer your question. I recall that the judge presiding there has got a pretrial conference for December. So that's coming up.
And what
up
happens at a pretrial conference?
So a pretrial conference is, again, presuming that it's going to trial sometime soon, which it may or may not, kind of a status conference. Where are we? Discovery has all been produced. What are our motions pending? What kinds of things do I need to resolve?
So all the bickering, all the banter back and forth,
right,
should be done hopefully prior to that. At that point,
some of that could take place at a pretrial conference as well. You can argue about things like jury selection. You can argue about things like the kinds of evidence to be presented. Presumably in December, we're not going to be close to that yet. My guess is the judge is still going to be resolving a lot of these pretrial motions, attacking the legitimacy of the indictment, going to the evidence. But he scheduled that. And again, my anticipation is maybe even before then, he's going to have to call everybody back in. And he's also said that he's going to expect the defendant to be there.
Yeah.
So Donald Trump will once again snarl Trump.
So, if crystal ball, you know, we don't know.
Right.
But when did you think E. Jean Carroll trial starts today?
Right now, right?
When would you, if you had to make a bet, Jim,
right,
if you had to make a prognostication, when do you think opening statements could be, if all those things happen in a line, when do you think that would be?
And again, if the judge says, you know what, again, I'm going to put this not in a fast track, but an appropriate track, it is possible, a small p, possible it could happen in 2024 sometime. Not impossible that it could be in 2025.
Really? Okay.
Right? You know, so again, depends upon lots of things. He's also got to take all this in. He's got to get some time to decide all these things as well. That can sometimes takes months as well. Undeniably, once again, the defense will do a lot of things to try to delay that. And at some point, this judge will say that's enough as well.
Okay, but I'm sorry, finish your thought.
No, yeah. That's just it. That depends upon how much he is willing to put up with. He also wants to get this resolved. It does raise some very interesting issues if indeed, here's a scenario I know you're all going to hate, which is suppose Donald Trump is reelected president and a criminal trial goes ahead in 2025, right, when he is suddenly once again our president. We've never done that before, had a criminal trial of a sitting president.
Well, maybe we can challenge the OLC rule right now. We'd have an opportunity to get rid of that travesty.
Exactly. That should happen too, and Merrick Garland needs to get rid of that before he leaves office.
All right, what about the timing, though? I mean, Tish James,
right?
She's got her investigation.
She's got a civil lawsuit.
She's filed it.
She's filed it, right? This is a $250 million civil lawsuit. This is the one that goes right again to the legitimacy, the veracity of the Trumps once again when it comes to valuation of properties. This is the case where the Trump organization, Donald Trump, his children also as parties to this lawsuit, valuing this property, the Trump Tower, at this level on this day for purposes of investments, and then devaluing it the following day for some other tax purposes. For insurance purposes, this apartment is valued at this level for other purposes. And so that is, according to Tish James, that's a violation. It is a violation of the reporting requirements in the state of New York. If you are a corporation there, you're doing business there, you got to file accurate statements. If you're all over the map, you violated the law. She's brought a civil lawsuit to enforce that, seeking not only damages, but also, here's the big one, also wants to prevent the Trumps ever again, at least in the state of New York, from serving in any sort of corporate capacity where they're in charge of an organization like this. And recognize, too, she's had some good successes. Remember Trump University? She shut that one down. The foundation, she shut that one down. All the same kinds of things, alleging fraud. That one also proceeding, again, toward trial at some point down the road. Probably not real soon either, but that one's along the way.
Did she get that much of a head start on Alvin Bragg? I mean... Once the charges are leveled, let's say that, do you expect them to be on about a similar timeline?
Actually not, just because usually the civil cases usually take longer. They actually do, just because typically the criminal cases will often bump the civil cases if you've got a heavy docket. This happens all the time in federal court where the judges say, you know what, I've got a speedy trial act, I've got to try this case. And the civil litigants will say, oh gosh, judge, you know, we want to come into your courtroom. That could also happen in New York. It's called the Superior Court there. That's what they call their trial courts. But again, it just depends upon the judge and his or her decision, how he or she wants to administer the case. And at some point, the judge says, okay, we're ready. I've had enough of all this. I've resolved the motions civilly, even in that matter. And here's the date. Clear your calendars. Typically doesn't say it's going to be next week. Take a look at your calendars, and we'll schedule this for 3 months down the road. Everybody's got to be there, and I'm not listening to any excuses about how you're going to snarl traffic in New York if you got to come in.
When we talked earlier, you mentioned an October date, James. Right. What would that? Is that pretrial? What would you consider that to be?
So that's also going to be the kinds of things. Also, that's the trial. In that case, again, to be clear on all this, she's got an October trial date coming up this year.
That's what I'm saying. This is on the calendar.
That is on the calendar.
They've already said clear your calendars.
Right, exactly,
it's October.
Right? It is
so
October.
Tish James' civil case state charges against Trump for the $250 million goes to trial in October.
In October of this year. This is the one where the defense attorneys for Donald Trump said, oh, no, he's got to be in and he's got to be campaigning for the White House. And the judges said, nope, we're going to trial. Now, again, the judge could postpone that. I don't think the judge is going to do that because, once again, this has been pending for a while. So that also, again, in Manhattan, we got a lot to talk about in the fall, won't we?
Yeah, no doubt. 844-967-2789. Jim, if I recall, there's this, you know, side-by-side investigation going on with Alvin Bragg. Well, I guess at the time it was the former
Manhattan District. Cy Vance, right?
And Tish James, you know, one criminal,
right,
one.
Right.
And it was kind of putting the Trumps in a spot, right? If you're honest in the civil case, they can use it in the criminal case. If you're not honest in the civil case, to plead the Fifth.
Right.
They can have an adverse inference, and they're going to charge you. You're going to lose
absolutely.
That. So these are some challenging times for the Trump. But it's all about justice, man. I don't want anyone being prosecuted, persecuted. for no reason. This is not political. This is just what it is. I mean, Trump could have had a gotten away with it, but he poked his head out, wanted to be president, and all of a sudden, you know, you flick on the light and the cockroaches scurry, and now you see all the things that he's been doing. And of course, we know January 6th and the others. We'll get there momentarily. So we got Tish James, October, that case. Alvin Bragg, that's going to be delayed. I mean, it's going to come on maybe next year, maybe the following year. E. Jean Carroll happening right now. We got a couple more. Right. The Fawny Willis, this is Georgia, right? We'll get there. And, of course, we have a touched Department of Justice, Jack Smith. This is the document crimes, as Crudy said, the national secrets. And January 6th, just as a side, if you show secret documents to a donor, isn't that kind of like selling it? I'm just wondering.
It is certainly violative the notion of disclosing classified information. We've got a young man in Massachusetts
to someone
who
gives
that,
you money.
What
do you call that?
Right. And even if they don't give you money, it's problematic at a minimum, right?
At a minimum.
We've got a young man in Massachusetts who's right now under federal custody because he's posting online classified information, and he is regrettably going to be spending most of the rest of his life in prison for doing just that. Different forum, absolutely, related to Ukraine and Russia, those kinds of things. It's a really bad idea to do that. Again, to the extent we're giving information today about potential criminal activity out there, don't do that either.
Don't
do that.
Well, we'll break down those other cases as we know it, but let's take some phone calls, 844-967-2789. Giving away some Brewers tickets tomorrow's game, 12:40 p.m. in Milwaukee. Let's get to them. Dick from Madison, I hear you got some breaking news for me. Dick, what's happening?
Yeah, I do. This is pretty interesting stuff. I look at Ari Milburn on MSNBC as pretty much straight arrow and everything's on the up and up. They're reporting on his show tonight. They've got, and I just heard it, the audio of Ted Cruz talking about all kinds of things to keep Trump in power prior to the January 6th stuff. This is just, like, unbelievable.
Now, we have heard some audio of Ted Cruz. I don't think we ever got to it, Evan. It's always been on the board. But it was one of those, I believe, released from the Fox News producer who's been in the news today. She's suing. I think it was part of that release. But that's already been released. So what you're saying to me, Dick, is that there's specific audio being released on MSNBC this evening. He's laying down the groundwork. He's helping build the plan.
He's laying the groundwork to build a plan for the situation with January 6th. Exactly.
Wow.
And he's describing
this guy.
Go ahead.
Is just so out of bounds, and always has been too. But I mean, this is crazy. I mean, I'm looking at now MSNBC and some of these other networks could really. Don't you agree, guys? With the stuff they have to work with now, could really take Fox down.
I think you make a great point. All the way down, and we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. Apparently, there's lots of tapes from the Abby Grossberg. She's a former producer. I think she was a producer for Maria Bartiromo, and towards the end of her career over there, she went over to Tucker and was in for a surprise. I know she's got lots of tapes, but Ted Cruz, I think we have. Do we have that one, Evan? Can we actually have an opportunity to play that? Let's see if we have the Ted Cruz, Evan. In the meantime, we'll get to your calls, 844-967-2789. Dynamo Dave from Duluth, Minnesota. You are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah. Hey, as you guys well know, with Tucker Carlson losing his job at Fox News, you probably saw the political story, whether, you know, what would be like if he ran for president. What do you guys think? Do you think he's going to make a run? I know people talked about it a couple of years ago.
Is he going to make a run for the presidency as an only
option?
Well,
what do you think of it? No, I'm saying how do you think he'd do if he actually did run for president and run up against Trump and DeSantis? And what do you guys, you prognosticators, think?
I got an opinion, David. Let me tell you all about it. Good point. There has to been some reporting, some prognostication that maybe, you know, Tucker runs for the presidency. I mean, he's got a big following. I mean, he's seen how Trump does it. I mean, he's kind of a natural white nationalist jerk. kind of, you know, really what, you know, a lot of those people are looking for.
Huge name recognition.
Yeah.
And wouldn't that make for an interesting Republican convention that's taking place right here down the street, Dom, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in August of 2024, right? If all those folks are once again on the stage, maybe even I talked about that Democratic debate, which probably won't happen, but a Republican debate among all these folks. We've got a fellow named Asa Hutchinson, who's also announced on the Republican side. Nikki Haley is out there. We got DeSantis, maybe.
They're all pulling two, three. I know it's so early, right? And Trump's, again, I say, you want to hear the prognostication dynamo day from Duluth, Minnesota. Trump's not going to be on the stage at the first Republican debate here in Milwaukee, hosted by Fox News. Hell, Fox News might not be Fox News come August.
Right.
And Donald Trump, I don't think, he's bitching today that he was not consulted about the requirements of these debates. So he may not go. We'll see. I'd rather have him not darken our skies here in Milwaukee. But no, come on, Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump,
right.
DeSantis.
And it goes to the legitimacy of the party, right? People who are, if you think about it, they should be government people who understand the importance of government, the roles that can be played, the power of it, but also the reason for it, which is service to the American public.
What?
Right? You know, how many of those folks can ascribe to that view of public service? My response is none of them.
None of them. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Public service. We are here for you. We appreciate you listening. Give us a call. We have some Brewers tickets to give away. It's going to have to be next segment, 844-967-2789. Also, want to break down a few more of these cases. Fannie Willis, of course, we talked about Georgia Department of Justice investigating the J6 insurrection. Hell, there's some Proud Boys trial going on now, right?
We've
got to get there as well. And, of course, the documents crime. Lots to talk about. Not enough time. Come back with us, 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Giving away some Brewers tickets, 844-967-2789. Got a couple of callers. We will get there shortly. Evan, you said we got some sound, right? Well, apparently we have some sound. I believe one was from this Abby Grossberg from her lawsuit. She's got a bunch of tapes from Fox News and her time there. I'm not clear if she recorded them, if she found tapes or recordings in the system. I'm not entirely clear, but let's hear. We have one from there. Senator Cruz talking, I believe, lamenting, "Hey, Fox News, you gotta be honest. You gotta have some facts to back these things up." Let's play that one if you would please, Evan.
You know, somebody tweeted this. It's got to be demonstrable facts that can be laid out with evidence, because that's what a court of law is going to look to, not just an allegation, but actual facts. And so, I'm hopeful. You know, I hope when Rudy comes on the show tomorrow, he has some of those facts, and I hope the legal team continues to lay out the specific evidence, because that's what it's going to take to prevail in court.
There is no, there was no, there got some echo there. We have no evidence. There was no evidence.
Right,
that was Ted Cruz being about as honest as I've ever heard Ted Cruz be.
Right.
But then he gets up on the floor and he's like, "Oh, with American people, what do we do? So many people are concerned about this election." Thinking to myself, yeah, because of Fox News and guys like you are telling them, be concerned about the election.
Right. And six, do not forget, the 60 courts around this country looked at all this and said, there's no there. We've tested this with judges left, right, in between. Nothing out there.
Trump-appointed judges, Obama-appointed judges.
Right, state court judges, federal judges, nothing out there. And again, you're right, Ted Cruz, our lawyer, as he will tell you quickly, from Harvard, understands at least that that's what's got to happen in court of law. You got to come forward with facts. Witnesses come forward with information that is credible and relevant and material, all those kinds of things. Where is that? Rudy Giuliani simply appearing, for example, in front of George and saying, I got a lot of stuff here, a lot of things going on here, and things you don't even know about.
Don't have any evidence.
Exactly. That was the phrase. Lots of theories, not a lot of evidence yet, but let me assure you it's out there.
I'm working on it.
Let me assure you that that is a witness whose testimony would almost certainly be stricken if you were in a state or a federal court talking like that. We rely upon evidence. We rely upon facts. That's what Ted Cruz is talking about. He had none.
Fani Willis, Fulton County DA in Georgia, and I said it blows my mind that we have to worry, have locals do these things, but it's in her lap and she's been handling it. Hasn't got the one grand jury, right?
And the investigating grand jury, the findings grand jury.
Yes. And now you got to get another grand jury,
the indicting grand jury.
Give them the info,
exactly,
but it hasn't happened yet. Right. And some folks are like, well, what's taking so long? Saw this one at the Raw story. George Conway, the conservative, the Republican. Here's what he said, why it might be being delayed.
Sure.
The fake electors are a big issue, and we've seen papers recently that show there may be some of those. It may be some of those fake electors that are flipping on one another. That's a big development. That's something that's worth her pursuing.
Right.
So if that were to be the case, I mean, we know the process. We know one, the grand jury is done. Right. We know the other one, I think, is either in panel or will be within the next couple of weeks.
Still hearing evidence, right?
Still going on. But she could, presumably do this pretty quick.
Right, she could.
And she gave notice. She told the cops. She said, July 11th, something like along those lines?
Right.
Be prepared. Here's a window of when we might drop something.
Right.
A lot of concern, of course, the election coming up, those kinds of things. But if she's getting some of these fake electors to flip, that would be a big deal for
her. And George Conway might be right about this if it's the kind of thing that, again, she may be prepared to present to this grand jury a proposed indictment. And maybe some of those electors are named in that indictment. Nothing wrong with her talking, but she can't share the indictment itself, talking to their attorneys and saying, listen, I need some information here, but I need to have your client come in and testify accurately. And maybe I'll give you a bit of a deal. Maybe I won't prosecute you, or you'll get a sentence that's less than otherwise dramatic. That could be happening. That could delay things somewhat. My bigger takeaway from that story is the breadth of what she's looking at, right? This all began with the call for 11,780. One more than what you counted, Mr. Raffensperger, right? And so that's where it begins. She is plainly, and that's the focus of it. That's still going to be the core allegation, probably against the former president. But she is plainly looking much beyond that. She's looking at false electors. She's plainly looking at all these other incidents.
She's looking at RICO? Absolutely.
Looking at these, there's a lot of speculation out there. We don't know for sure, but Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, that's RICO, right? Doing all these kinds of things, also like intimidating poll workers, those kinds of things, also within the ambit of what she's talking about. She's looking at fraud generally in the state of Arizona. Again, this would be brought on, Georgia. Looking for whether there have been violations of state law there in Georgia and looking broadly at an attempt to undermine the electoral process.
That's what they did.
Right?
Yes,
right?
Thank you.
And that's why this could be initially be thought, well, this is a real simple little case here. You just charged Donald Trump with the phone call, an attempt to undermine the election. She's looking more broadly, probably a multi-count indictment, probably involving many people. Remember also that we had a United States senator went down there. I think we had a chief of staff who went down there. All these people going down there may or may not be criminally involved, but certainly a lot of information to look at, much beyond just the phone call, as critically important as that phone call is. And that's why this could also be taking a little bit longer period of time as she continues to add counts. She's got her Sharpie out and adding counts 34, 35, and 36, perhaps, as these things happen, and also developing this case for the trial, which will come at some point.
844-967-2789. Joe from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Oh, man. It's just hearing about Thomas and Gorsuch. It's like a Supreme Court of sewer rats. It's just awful. It is so dirty. It is so sick.
Right.
And I'm telling you, one of the things that just amazes me about it is this Crow guy did not need, he talks about how we're longtime friends with Mr. Thomas and how dare you come between friendship. He only met Thomas after he was confirmed as a Supreme Court judge. That's when he met him, and that's when the money trail started up, when the sewer of Fawcett was released, where it was not just this one vacation, it was vacations every single year, private jets. On private jets, a $19,000 Bible that had been owned by Frederick Douglass he gave to him. And then in Gorsuch, no better. This LLC that this guy set up called the Walden Group, he had one-third of the ownership of this. This property he had been owned, he had been on the market for 2 years, didn't sell. 9 days after Gorsuch is confirmed, golly, guess what? The CEO of Greenberg Traurig just happens to be the person who purchased it, and he doesn't mention it.
Gorsuch's mom still living there, Joe? I mean, come on, man. I mean, this guy is Clarence Thomas's mother's landlord.
And, Joe, you're a very good point. Also, the larger issue, which is, even if at the time you don't have cases pending, what is all this? It's an investment, right? You're investing in Supreme Court justices.
Investing in friendship.
Very good, Dom. Very good, right? You're investing in the future in that case where I've got to call upon the Supreme Court to issue an order, take on a case that might, in fact, have an impact upon my corporate status.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis here on the Civic Media Network on Saturdays 9 to 11 a.m. Not too early, not too late. It's perfect. You can check him out. He is, most importantly, a friend of Devil's Advocates. Jim, always a pleasure, man. I love hanging out with you and catching up, man.
And I feel the same way. Thank you so much for inviting me here. Looking forward to being back. If you make the inappropriate decision to invite me back, I will be here in a moment.
And thank you to our fair audience. We appreciate you. Have fun at the Brewer game tomorrow, taking on the Tigers, 12:40 p.m. Almost said a.m. We are the Devil's Advocates crew, coming back live on Thursday. Have a great night. We will talk to you real soon.
Take care, everybody.